John, and you're listening to the Techlead Pro podcast. It is week 26 of 2024, Sunday the 30th of June. You're very welcome, guys. Hope you had a lovely week. So today I want to talk to you about the truth, and there are many blind spots associated with establishing it. We are all convinced that we are right, but when we disagree, then somebody must be wrong. Nobody has a monopoly on the truth. If nothing else, in the interest of fairness, somebody must be wrong. Perhaps we should all agree to take turns, which is democratic, right? Joking aside, there is an obvious solution. We use facts. That is why objective facts matter so much. They offer arbitration when there is disagreement. There is your version of the truth, there is my version of the truth, and then there is the objective truth, which exists outside of all of that. Objective truth does not care about our feelings. It exists independent of those. According to Wikipedia, something is objective if it can be confirmed independently of a mind. If a claim is true, even when considering it outside the viewpoint of a sentient being, then it is labeled as being objectively true. And a link to that article from the show notes of this episode, guys, which are available on my website, techleader.pro. So in the purest sense, all decisions shall be made based on objective truth. In reality, it is often hard to establish that, and to establish that in time. So often a leader will have to make a decision using imperfect versions of what's available. An imperfect version of the truth, if you will. And as a leader, it is very important to be able to tell the difference between subjective and objective truth, and to maintain a strong bias for objectivity when making an important decision. Equally, one must not fall into the trap of assuming a fact becomes, quote, more true if more people believe in it. In fact, a majority of people can be wrong objectively. It's rare, but it does happen. So, put simply, guys, we are all wrong sometimes, but we don't always acknowledge it. And often we don't acknowledge it because we have too much pride associated with our opinion. Nobody likes to be proven wrong, especially publicly. But as a leader, you don't have the luxury of having your feelings override the facts. Except when you're wrong, and then move on. A trick I like to use myself is to actually solicit my team to prove me wrong. So I'll often say, please correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think blah blah blah. And what I'm doing is I'm encouraging them to challenge me. I'm encouraging them to correct me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. There's no ego associated with that. I'd rather be right than be wrong. I'd rather be right because that enables me to make better decisions. And remember, guys, one of the fundamental purposes of leadership is to make decisions. It is the decision function of an organization. And the quality of the decisions that we make is based upon the quality of the inputs that we receive in terms of facts. We get bad information, we make bad decisions. We get good information, we hopefully make good decisions. And if you make bad decisions based on good information, well, that's on you. Maybe you're a bad leader and maybe this isn't the role for you. So what else did I do this week? I wrote a blog entry on the topic of stop seeking approval of others. So what I was speaking about here, guys, is that we should stop seeking validation from others. Obviously, it's important to take feedback and to solicit feedback. But we shouldn't be making decisions, especially as leaders, based upon what's going to be popular or what's going to be unpopular, etc. And you know, that's why they pay us the big bucks. It's not an easy role to fulfill within an organization. And sometimes you do have to make decisions that are unpopular. But you can't just go through your whole career constantly looking for approval from others, constantly, you know, carrying out surveys, carrying out opinion polls, and, you know, trying to figure out what way the wind is blowing. As a leader, you're the one who should be setting the direction, and you're the one who needs to make decisions and have those decisions follow through, even if they're not exactly the most popular things around. So I explore this in this blog entry. It's quite a short blog entry, but if you're interested in reading it, you'll find it on my website, techleader.pro. Apart from that, in terms of media that I'm enjoying this week, I started to read a book called Shipwreck by Charles Logan. if you are familiar with the more recent story, The Martian, or it was also made into a movie starring Matt Damon, The Martian, about the astronaut who is stranded on Mars and the rescue mission to try to get him back. Shipwreck is a bit like that, but it was written in 1975. And it is based on a planet that is 65 years travel away. So it's a multi-generational ship. And the protagonist in the story is part of the second generation who was actually born on the ship. And there is an accident and he ends up being stranded on this planet on his own. It's brilliant. It is one of the best books I've read in a very, very long time. I haven't finished it yet. I have a feeling that it's building up to probably going to be a fairly traumatic ending, because it doesn't seem like there's any hope of rescue. There's no, you know, there's no positive outcome that I can see here. But it's so well written. And what is also fascinating is the fact that Charles Logan only wrote one book, Shipwreck. This is it. He didn't write another book. Moreover, the book is actually out of print. It's extraordinarily hard to find. You can't even find a digital copy online anywhere. So it's not on, you know, Kindle or anything like that. I did manage to find an old secondhand copy from 1975 on eBay. It was quite expensive, even though the condition was pretty poor. But it's literally like the only way you can get the book is to buy an old copy from eBay from the 70s. But guys, it's worth it. If you enjoyed The Martian, you're going to absolutely love Shipwreck. So it comes with the strongest possible recommendation. And I will speak about it in the next episode. Hopefully by then I will have actually finished it. It's quite a short book. So yeah, the strongest recommendation for Shipwreck by Charles Logan. Okay, so we'll leave it there, guys. I hope you have a great week ahead, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.